Class is in session. You're listening to Squat University by Dr. Aaron Horshick.
Let's go!
Now, let's start the show.
Hey, what's up, podcast listeners? Thank you so much for checking out today's show. This is episode 136 of the Squat University podcast. The goal with each and every one of these shows is to bring you as much value-packed content to help you move better in the gym and in life, decrease your body's aches and pains, and help you reach your true athletic potential. On today's podcast, I'm once again joined by two-time Olympian Chad Vaughn, and our goal today is to bring you the topic of three ways to add flavor to your squat program. Now, before we jump into the topic on hand today, I just want to let you guys know my new weightlifting shoe with Tier, the first ever wide toe box weightlifting shoe, is finally back in stock again. Again, because of how we're doing this as a smaller company, we're not making a huge, humongous purchase all at once. So we're having sort of these smaller drops just throughout the year of a couple thousand shoes at a time. And we just had another big drop of a couple thousand with the black and gold signature Squat U shoes. And we also have some more white with the gum bottom and then the all black. And Chad, in your experience, you've been in a lot of different weightlifting shoes since, you know, you started lifting way back in the day. Yep. How do you like these shoes?
Oh, they're amazing. And I've had a lot of people ask me about that. You know, they see me using them on Instagram or if I go do a clinic or something like that and I pull them out and they're like, oh, are those the new Tier Squat University shoes? I'm like, yeah, take a look. But you know, it would make sense for me to, you know, we work together a lot. So it would make sense for me to say, yes, I like them and support you. But literally when you first sent me that first pair, I put them on and I just tried a couple squats and they're just immediately comfortable. This was actually right before my last competition earlier in maybe mid 2022, like a couple weeks before. Normally I would never switch shoes that close to a competition and planning to. You know, but I put those on and they were so comfortable and more room and everything else. So I went ahead and made the switch and used them in that next competition. And like you said, I've used a lot of shoes and for sure these are my favorite ones. So
yeah, I remember the text you sent me. You said, hey, this is no BS just because you're my friend. Yeah, these are literally my favorite weightlifting shoes I've ever worn.
Yeah.
And that was pretty cool to hear. So, all right. So guys, if you want to get this pair of Olympic weightlifting shoes with a wide toe box, your foot's not going to slide around just because the toe box is wide, but your toes can spread out and you can use your foot as it was designed. Go ahead on over to the Tier website and get them before they're gone, because they will be gone and then we will have to wait for another drop. So, all right, let's jump into today's topic. So top three ways to add flavor to your squat program. So a lot of times as athletes, we are finding either squat programs that, you know, we're going out on Google and trying to search for. We have a coach that's programming for us and it just has the basic sets and reps. You know, you're going to be doing back squats for a couple weeks, be doing tens, and then you drop down to fives and threes. You could do anything, you know, that's maybe a little bit more advanced, like you're doing a small off program or something, or something that maybe fluctuates between back and front squats. But the idea is that a lot of times people have these squat programs and it's just programming the squats. And I think what we can do from a programming standpoint to add some flavor based on what our goals are is we can add in and tweak a couple different things, almost supplement what the basic numbers are written down to create an even more optimal programming. So today, let's talk about three of them. The first one is adding in some light tempo work in between your lifts. So Chad, tell me a little bit more about how people can benefit from light tempo work and what that even looks like.
Yeah, for sure. Let me give a little bit of background on this first. Like for me specifically, where this came for in my own programming back in the day when I programmed for myself and then now programming for a lot of different athletes, I would, when I was writing my own programming, I would always, and I probably said this before on this podcast somewhere, but I would always start with the squat program. That's the first thing that I would pick out that I was going to do for the cycle. I would lay that out on the days that I felt like it needed to be, spread it out through the week, and then I would put everything else around that. So through the years, I created a few of my own squat programs, and all of the programs were mine that I created. But the base of that program, the squat program, most of the time was from another source. So you know, you have LSUS overall program, and that's the one that we're about to, similar to the one that we're about to start in our online program. this next month, but it starts with tens, you know, and I'll talk, we can talk them through that a little bit later, but it starts with tens and squats and deadlifts. And then you do that for a certain number of weeks, you drop down to five and then you drop down to three. So I use that base rep scheme and squat program a lot of times. Also, there's, you know, one from Coach Bergner that's like 10 sets of three, you know, at different percentages. You do 10 sets of three one day in the back squat and then 10 sets of three on the front squat on another day. Six sets of five, or, you know, at 80%, or six sets of two. And then the next week you go six sets of three. And then the next week you go six sets of four, all the way up to six sets of six. So all these different squat programs that I laid down initially, and then I started to adjust them for what I needed, or, you know, to give it a little bit of flavor, as you said, doing things like a 10 second down, 10 second hold in the bottom narrow grip overhead squat in between any of those sets. So it's not anything that's going to add a whole lot of reps. That's going to add a whole, you know, a tremendous amount of weight, especially with an overhead squat. And as long as you are conditioned to that, you're not only going to not take away from the squat program that you're on, you're going to add that flavor that's going to help stimulate further progress, you know, in general, or for you as an individual. And when you get into these squat programs, none of them really, the ones that I was choosing from back in the day, they were great. I got a lot of benefit from them on their own, but none of them really have any tempo work written in. So that's where I was like, well, I want to do some tempo work. Again, with an overhead squat, with a front squat. I like to use front squats with straps because that gives you some mobility work for your front rack position as well. But those tempos, again, you're not trying to do a lot of reps. You're going to limit the weight that you can lift a little bit, not a whole lot, but a little bit, and supplement, add to the squat program that you're using very regularly. You know, as you've done before in the program, Aaron, we'll start with 10 seconds down and 10 second hold in the bottom, you know, and you'll do however many sets you have. Say if it's three sets of 10 for the day in the back squat, then, you know, maybe you do your first set of 10 at whatever percentage that is at. Then you'll do your front squat, one rep, 10 second down, 10 second hold in the bottom. Rest is needed. Then you'll do your second set of 10. Then you'll do one or two more sets of the tempo, and then your last set of 10. So sometimes I'll end with the tempo, but most of the time I like to end with the non-tempo regular set of 10 or regular set of five, whatever that is, just so there's movement there and not the long hold. If you're going into, say, some snatches or cleans or jerks or something after those squats, which is very typical in the beginning of the cycle when we would be doing tempos and tens, you know, if you're doing some Olympic lifting, some fast moving after those squats, it's not a bad thing to end on the tempo set. But just, again, whatever the base idea here is, that whatever squat program that you're on from your coach or whatever place you're taking it from, you're probably going to see just a basic, again, which is not wrong or bad, but just a basic straight up three sets of 10 or six sets of five or 10 sets of three. This is just a way to add flavor in between sets. Now, if you're doing 10 sets of three, you probably don't want to do something in between every single set. You're going to lengthen your day quite a bit. So probably I would say if you're adding these things in there, no more than like three or four of them, that's going to be plenty. You don't want to do 10 tempo sets for the day. So,
yeah. And I think one thing that I found really helpful whenever you've programmed these in for my squats is that doing that tempo rep, and again, it's literally one rep. So if during the day, my whole squat warm up or squat warm up takes a couple minutes, then my squat working sets is like six sets. And it's like, you know, all right, the first set is a set of five back squats. And then I'm going to go over to the other rack because I have it set up right next to it. And I'm going to do a 10 second down, 10 second pause front squat. And what I feel is that by doing that slow tempo squat, you're sort of greasing the groove of that neurological movement pattern. You're basically solidifying every single aspect of that movement, because it's not, we're not doing this extremely heavy, but, and you're only doing one rep too, but you're just owning every single aspect of that lift, really making sure that the slot for your hips, you're just going right into it. So that when you get out and you then go back to your next set, you know, you rest 2 minutes or whatever you are, and then you go back and you do your next set of back squats, you're just sort of moving right into that exact technical position that you want before. You almost feel like you can, again, slot your hips that much easier right into the best position. So it almost enhances your ability to have better performance and movement quality on your following couple reps, which I've found has been very helpful.
Oh, no doubt. There's so many benefits to the tempo, and you do tempo for strength and stability, but you also do it for mobility because you're pausing in the bottom, you know, sitting on your end ranges, like you said, grooving for those reps that you're not pausing. And that's a big, big reason that I have it in the program for the majority of the athletes that I work with, because they're not, they don't know where their bottom position is yet. They're not consistent. Mm-hmm. It's not as mobile as it can be. It's, they're not as comfortable down there. I need them to hit that on every single rep, whether they're pausing or not. So adding this tempo in, making them sit in the bottom with the front squat or a back squat is going to help them find that. But again, you get mobility work out of it. You get stability work out of it as well. And we're going to talk about those two also. But another thing that I want to confirm is that, you know, say you're past the point of, I mean, we can all work on mobility and all that stuff on an ongoing basis, but say you're past the point of needing to use it to help gain mobility or to help understand where the bottom position is to get more consistent, you can go heavy in these. And I mm-hmm. want athletes in general to build up to a heavy couple reps. Again, you're only doing three or four in the workout and you're only doing one rep, most likely. I mean, you can do more, a few more reps than that, but typically it's the one rep. So it's more of a by feel thing. Though set one would be something that is, especially on week one, when you're trying to learn this, is something very light. You know, if you're using a front squat, even say something like 50% of your clean or your front squat, that's all it needs to be to get the idea of how it feels and kind of what you're capable of. And then go up just a little bit from there and a little bit from there. And if you do it again the following week, then you can use that information to add on top of it. But I want athletes, as long as the quality and everything is good, as you've done here, and I want them to get up to something that is kind of a max for that, you know, for that one rep at some point, and really push. And then you drop back and do another regular set without a tempo, even if it's heavier weight, you're going to feel some stimulation from that as well. So
for sure. Yeah. I think one of the most enjoyable, fun challenges of a program like this is the ability to push a 10-second descent and 10-second pause squat, whether that is a front squat or a, you know, an overhead squat. I think it's something that not a lot of people do, and therefore many people would benefit from doing. I've seen tremendous benefit in my own training from adding those in. Something that, you know, in all the years training up until you started programming for me, wasn't something that I had not done, and I find that it's been a massive benefit to my own training, my ability to get into better positionings, and how that carries over to my snatch and clean.
Yeah, no doubt. And I really think that's a good segue into talking about one of the other three in stability, because there's a tremendous amount of stability work. Mm-hmm. You know, I think maybe you've even said it before. I know I've thought it and said it. It's like, is there really a better general core exercise than a 10-second down, 10-second hold overhead squat?
It is very tough.
Decent amount of weight. I mean, even with lightweight, but especially if you get used to it and you're building up over weeks and you get to what is a heavy weight for you? What is something that's like, 80% of your snatch or 90% of your snatch, it's going to be a heavy load over your head, and you're going to have to work hard stabilizing everywhere and with all of your muscles, you know? So stability wise, it's such a, the tempo is such a good exercise as well. But other things that we can do for stability that I've done a lot is just heavy, either front quarter squats or front rack holds, either in between front or back squats. I like to mix them with back squats a lot, just because we get the back squat different than front squat. We're staying out of the front rack position, but we're also getting our body into the front rack position, especially if there's no other front rack exercise for the day. The front rack position is so tough for so many athletes that it's important that we get into it as much as we can. So getting into that position, doing a heavy front rack hold is going to give you that benefit. It's going to, if you're doing it correctly, it's going to give you mobility benefit as well. But having that overload is going to help you have insurance to clean and jerk as well. You're going to do your clean. Maybe you have to gut it out. Hopefully you don't have to, but whether you have to gut it out or not, you need extra insurance and capacity to take your time, breathe, transition your focus into the jerk. If you are uncomfortable and not strong or stable in your front rack position, what are you going to do? You're going to clean it and immediately try to rush into your jerk, and that's not going to do any good at all. Mm-hmm. You've got to be able to take your time, breathe, set up, think about the jerk at least briefly so that you can have a better chance to execute it. And that's what the front rack hold or the front quarter squats does. Also, just for, again, stability and strength purposes, if you're backing out of the rack or you're standing up out of a jerk block with eventually 120, 130% or more of what you can clean and jerk, and even more than you can back squat, that's an overload that's going to benefit you, your squats that you're mixing that with as well. You know, you're stepping out with, say, let's say you're doing sets with of 10 with 100 kilos in the back squat, but yet you're holding 130 kilos in your front rack just because all you're doing is standing there with it, you know, and it's going to take time to build up to that and get comfortable. But how much lighter is that 100 kilos going to feel, you know, on that next set when you just walked out with 130 kilos. And again, that can be in your front or your back rack, but there's all those tremendous benefits from doing those types of front rack holds. Again, we're specifically talking about stability, but some other things that we can do, Aaron, maybe that you can touch on, are like single leg work. If you're imbalanced from side to side, or you have some asymmetries and you need to balance those out, you can throw things like that in, or glute bridges. If your glutes aren't coordinating appropriately with the rest of your body, we'll throw some glute bridges in there or another glute exercise in there to help you engage appropriately as you're doing those next squat sets.
For sure. So I want to touch on first the heavy walkout holds that you mentioned, or even the quarter squats. That's something I've talked about a couple of times recently on Instagram with powerlifter Jen Thompson, 11-time mm-hmm. national champion or world champion. And one of the things that we talk about, the mechanism behind it, is called post-activation potentiation. And basically, by putting on such a heavy load on your body and walking out with it, neurologically, you're priming your body to have more neural drive to mm-hmm. your muscles. So basically, your stability for the entire system is that much more engaged. Mm-hmm. There's that much more power output to your muscles. So here's a practical example: is if I am going to do a back squat with 100 kilos, so 220 pounds. But before that, I'm going to do a heavy walkout hold. And again, the fun thing being Olympic weightlifting is what we're talking about, is you could do this technically with a front squat or a back squat, and you're still going to get massive benefits from both just because of the load is placed on your body and you're still doing a squat walkout. But let's say you do it with back squat. You put 120 to 130 kilos on the bar. So you're overloading it much more than what you're going to do with that specific first back squat hold of a back squat of 100 kilos. And you walk it out, you take your couple steps out, you shoulder it, and you just stand there for 10 seconds. And you're just focusing on keeping the core tight, very shallow breaths in and out of your mouth, like you're breathing through a straw, but overall just focusing on core stability, keeping your back nice and tight. Or if you're doing this in the front rack, keeping, you know, your upper body nice and tight and locked in and everything. That's all you do. And then you re-rack it. And then you wait your minute or so, you put on just 100 kilos and you do your back squat. You're going to feel that much stronger and feel that much more powerful, because that lighter weight now is going to feel even lighter than it would because you just had that very heavy weight on. So again, as tip two for how to add flavor to your workouts, is you can add in these heavy walkout holds or like a heavy quarter squat as a way to neurologically prime mm-hmm. stability and power output for your body. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like you alluded to, Chad, is the idea of how we can also add stability into our first couple sets. Let's say you're someone that's maybe coming back from a prior injury, be that a hip, a knee injury is very common for a lot of people in weightlifting, in CrossFit. single leg squats like a touchdown is one of my favorite mm-hmm. exercises that I show for a lot of people, just because not enough lifters get single leg enough. Mm-hmm. And this goes especially for my power lifters. So part of retraining the squat and building back capacity pain-free is getting single leg. So you could do a 10 rep single leg squat off like two plates or three plates stacked up. Doesn't need to be a pistol squat, but a small single leg squat where you're focusing on the hip hinge, getting the glutes engaged, focusing on your balance, in doing 10 reps on each of those, and then going and doing your squats. And what that's going to do is almost prime that needed stability, make sure neuromuscular wise, you're getting the proper coordination of engaging the glutes first. Because one of the big reasons that a lot of people develop knee pain is because they are so overloading that front side mm-hmm. of the joint. They're so quad dominant, they don't know how to use their hips correctly. So whenever you guys watch me demonstrate a touchdown on Instagram or YouTube or whatever, I have a very hip dominant, almost like it's an RDL at the very start of it to engage those glutes. And then you squat down. It's just basically teaching the glutes how to do their job of creating that proximal stability first. So you could do sets of, you know, touchdowns, three sets within your first three sets of squats. Mm-hmm. That's a simple way. You're also getting a little bit of a greater warm up. Second thing you could do is, like Chad alluded to, some bridges. One of the biggest issues a lot of people have that develop back issues as well, again, is improper coordination of the glutes. Gluteal amnesia is a podcast that I did with Dr. Stuart McGill years ago. If you guys want to go back and listen to that, it's not saying the glutes are asleep. It's not saying they're not turning on, but they are not coordinating in their firing pattern the exact same way in the right intensity. So their dimmer switch is on, and how they fire and at what timing and intensity. This is well researched with many people who have back pain, is the glutes are not the main hip extensor. How long they maintain their extension drive is diminished whenever we have back pain. So if someone's coming back from back pain, something they could do easily is during their squat sets, you know, in between each one, they do like five reps of five bridges for a 5 second hold, just squeezing the glutes as hard as they can, just to sort of prime that drive to the glutes. And that can be, again, an easy way to just add some more flavor for what that person needs to just optimize that training program.
Yep.
And then I would say our third flavor, pretty simple, is mobility work. So Chad, I know this is a big one for you and your passions and helping people squat to full depth. So I'll let you start off. What are some of the favorite things that you will do to add mobility work in between training? And why do you think so many people need to understand this tip for adding flavor into their training?
Yeah, absolutely. Real quick, I have to go back because you talked about the single leg squat. And I just wanted to say that's actually exactly what I'm doing right now. I've been coming back from a little bit of a knee injury later in last year. And, you gave me the touchdown squats, and they've just mm-hmm. become a part of my program. And so now I'm able to do full squats again. And you know, I'm doing a set of 15 between some of my sets. So I get three total sets in. And all that time I was doing that single leg work, when on a lot of days I couldn't do full squats and definitely couldn't do them heavy. What that's done for me is I'm feeling something different than I've ever felt. My legs have stayed strong and defined, you know, for one, which is good. But now that I'm building back up in weight, I haven't lifted heavy yet, but with the weights that I'm lifting, I feel like, I have hydraulics, like there's some power there. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that benefit, those single leg squats. If you don't know of anything else that you need, but you don't do any single leg work, throw those in your warm up with those sets. I think that's a big benefit. Mobility, it's critical. And again, a lot of the reason why I do tempos, 10 second down, 10 second hold, or the heavy front rack hold or the light front rack hold, is for mobility. So to help someone's front rack position, to help someone gain mobility and be more comfortable and have a better bottom position. But also, if we assess these athletes as we should, and we know what their major limitations are, if we know that your ankle dorsiflexion is really tight, but you're good everywhere else, well, guess what you're going to be doing between your first three squat warm-up sets? You're going to be doing an ankle mobility drill. So that goes for any other part of the body that we know of. I think it's best to probably pick out one or two, no more than two, to focus on, as you're doing this. And again, we're talking about I like to only really do them in between your warm-up sets. If you get to your working sets and if you're, say, really bad off, you need a lot of work. Well, maybe your working sets shouldn't be heavy anyways, you know, because we don't want to lack that quality. But this is a good opportunity while you're quote unquote resting in between your sets, which you should be doing a little bit of, to still do some movement with a simple mobility drill that is meaningful to you. It is such a simple concept, you know, like there's not even a lot that needs to be said about it, but it is so important and so powerful. If you need mobility before doing tempos, before doing the stability work that we talked about, hammer one or two areas of your body between your warm-up sets and your squats, and it will go a long way.
Definitely. The thing I like to explain to my patients that come that are lacking mobility is the way to think about how you're programming this into your workouts is get the mobility, use the mobility.
Yeah.
And that's how you actually lock it in, because there's a lot of people that are like, oh man, I do so much mobility work and I just don't see very long-term changes. And a lot of times it's they're doing the mobility work, but they're not getting the second aspect of it, which is you have to use that new motion under load in order to actually see long-term changes. That's how the body's going to adapt. Because the reason the body many times becomes stiff in the first place and develops these big restrictions is because it is stiffening up in response to an uncontrolled range. You are lacking stability. You're lacking strength in that range. Now, that doesn't just mean you just do strength work, but it means that you need to have sort of a complement of the mobility work to open up a window for better movement. And then you stabilize over the top by moving through that full range. So, for example, you mentioned doing these during your warmups. I love that. Here's two examples for listeners out there. Let's say you need ankle mobility work. You want a better, deeper squat. Well, something you can do, let's say you're going to do 3 warmup sets before you get into your working weights. Before each set, you're going to do either a banded joint mobilization or like a deep goblet squat. Just take a plate, take a kettlebell, and just sink down into a really deep squat until you feel like you're at your end ranges. And you can even stretch your knee over your toe and get your calves for a couple seconds, but sink down there for 20, 30 seconds. And then get up and then immediately take your breaths, get under the bar, and then squat down. And remember, because we're doing this as a warm-up, the thing that Chad has always mentioned before and that I love to echo, your first rep of any warm-up set, pause in the bottoms for like 5 seconds. Use that new range of motion under load, and that will dramatically help improve your squat mobility long-term. So it's get the mobility, use the mobility. Another scenario that I know a lot of people have, if you have like pinchy hips, so you have those like hip impingement type feelings where you can't get very deep because the front of your hip pinches or feels like it's painful. Well, a joint mobilization can often be very helpful. So a lot of people that are dealing with hip impingements and then they're working themselves back into squats, I will have them do their set of squats, a joint mobilization, set of squats, joint mobilization. So they sort of work it in between their first couple sets, again, with the idea of get the mobility and then use that mobility under load to be able to then enhance your movement capabilities. So just, you know, some ideas for people out there for trying to add in this. So guys, overall, let's wrap all this up together. We've got 3 ways to add some flavor to your squat program. So no matter what type of squat program you are doing, whether you got the Russian squat program off of Google search, you're doing the Bergner squat program like we talked about before, or your coach just wrote out a squat program for you, there's 3 different ways in which you can just add a little bit of flavor to them in order to optimize based on what your end goals are. You get a little bit of light tempo work. And again, that may be just 3 or 4 sets sprinkled in between your working weights of some slow tempo, like a 10 second down, 10 second pause front squat or overhead squat. You can do some stability work, like a heavy walkout hold during your first couple sets. Or if you're going to do some stability work based on an injury or clearing up a movement problem, some touchdowns or some bridges, or even for a lot of people, some mobility work in between the sets. And the reason we wanted to talk about this topic today specifically is because Chad and I's subscription-based Olympic weightlifting programming that's on Train Heroic Marketplace is going to be starting, I believe it's next week, you said, correct, Chad?
Yeah, the beginning of next month. What is that date? Whatever that date is,
The
within the first week of of April, and so we just finished a cycle a couple weeks ago. We've done a recovery week. We do what I call a refresher week, and now we're going into this new cycle that is, like I talked about before, based on the LSUS, old LSUS program, where you do, first of all, 3 weeks of 10s. So we'll talk about squats specifically, but it's squats and deadlifts. But for the squats, three sets of 10 in the back squat. You do that 2 days a week. Day one is kind of your push day. Day two later in the week, you do three sets of 10 at like 90% of that. After those 3 weeks, you'll do a back off week with fives, and then you'll push fives for 2 weeks after that. Now and then we'll eventually go down into threes. What you need to know for the month of April, which is what we're talking about, is you have a whole lot of tens and the back squats to do. Week one is going to be a conservative week, just to help, just to get you to kind of fill it out and get familiar with tens, and give you an idea of where you're at, so that you can then push the next week and then try to build on top of that a little bit the following week. Of course, there's percentages and recommendations in there, but being that this is all back squats for the whole long, you know, 10 to 12 week cycle that it is, this is why I want to add some lighter, or I say lighter and or single rep or low rep front squats in there. And the flavor that's added for the month of April is going to be doing front squats with straps on one day, and then Frankenstein squats on the next day. So both in the front rack position, you're getting all three of those things that we talked about: tempo, mobility, and stability. And the goal over time is to build that load up, just like you're building the back squats for sets of 10 load up as well. So you're pushing all of that together. But again, of course, being that there's tempo and there is, holding in the bottom and all that stuff, the weight will be limited. And again, we're not adding a whole lot of work, but that's the flavor that's added into our program for the month of April. You know, if you're not already on that program, we hope you'll give it a look and try it out, and confident that you will benefit from the 10-5-3 rep scheme alone, but especially with that flavor in there. It's going to give you that front rack work that you need, and that tempo work, and that mobility work, and that stability work that you can benefit from as well. So
there you go. All right, guys. So head on over to trainheroic.com/marketplace and check out that subscription training programming if you are interested in any of that. And until next month, guys, we'll have another awesome podcast bringing you guys some value. Hope you guys enjoyed today.
All right, guys, that is it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. For those of you out there who would like to support all the content I make for Squat U and help me make even better content, check out my Patreon page. For as little as $1 a month, you can help support all the content that I create, and even the third tier of support has access to an exclusive once a month live Q&A club where I literally sit down with you and answer any questions that you have. So if that sounds interesting to you, head on over to patreon.com/squatuniversity. Thanks, guys.
That's it for today, class, on Squat University by Dr. Aaron Horschig. For more exclusive content, log on to squatuniversity.com.